We appreciate the Lord for how much help He has given to us in the conference so far. I was talking with Pastor from Zimbabwe in the afternoon, and he said, after the first night's session, he might as well carry his bag and return back to Zimbabwe, because that was enough. And I'm sure many of us felt like that after the righteous rebellion night. And not just that, God has been giving us very, very heavy download that is very, very practical. We've been looking on taking charge of destiny. This night I'm going to speak on losing charge of destiny. Dash or in bracket, losing out of destiny. Because it is possible for us to learn from both positive examples and negative examples. If there were those who took charge of destiny, and we saw what they did, what about those who lost charge of destiny? What did they do to lose it so we can avoid it? I told you, in my growing up life, both in family life and several other aspects of my life, I learned many things from both ways. For example, growing up, I learned how a marriage should not be. I learned how family life should not be. From the kind of setting I grew, I made a vow that what my mother saw, my wife will not see. What I saw, my children will never see. So I learned from that. Growing up in ministry also, I had encounters and experiences of ministries. This is how to run ministry. I also saw this is how not to run it. If you want to end, follow this path. And it's important to learn from both ways. Papa Oyedepo read over 30-something biographies. He saw how many people made it and how many people, missed it. And he guided him. So, we are looking at losing charge of destiny, losing out on destiny. And our prime example tonight that we are going to use is King Saul, King of Israel. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 13, there is something I want you to see about. Alright, let me start from verse 1 Samuel chapter 10 first. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 20 to 24. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken. And Saul, the son of Kish, was taken. And when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord, "Father, if the man should yet come thither?" And the Lord answered, "Behold, he has hid himself among the stuff." That was very prophetic. And they ran and fetched him thence. And when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people, from his shoulders and upward. And Samuel said to all the people, "See him whom the Lord has chosen, that there is none like him among all the people." And the people shouted and said, "God save the king." Hallelujah. This was Saul. And there are a few things now. Our objective, of course, tonight, is understanding what it takes to lose out of destiny in order to avoid them. Understanding what it takes to lose out of destiny, to lose charge of destiny and avoiding them. We saw the story of Saul. I think that Saul was one of the most favored human beings in scripture for the following reason. First, Saul was anointed as the first king of Israel, the first one, the number one. The history of the kings in Israel could not be complete without Saul. Saul was the frontliner king of Israel. Number two, Saul was favored to be anointed king from a non-kingly tribe. Of the tribe of Benjamin, nothing about kingship was mentioned. He was favored by God. God bypassed Judah, the kingly tribe. Bypassed Levi, the priestly tribe. Bypassed Issachar, the prophetic tribe. And went for a tribe that was not mentioned in particular to anything, except that it is the smallest tribe of Israel. And picked this boy. There is nothing, if you search scripture, that Saul did to deserve that position. Thirdly, Saul was favored by God to be sought out despite running from the throne. He ran, hid himself among bags of food or whatever. And God still went for him. God went for him. God had a plan for Saul. Fourthly, to establish his throne forever. I don't know how God was going to do that, but that was what Samuel told him. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 13 to verse 14, Samuel told him, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded it. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever." So Saul, for doing nothing, God planned to give him a throne that was durable. But Saul could not even finish his tenure before he was rejected by God. He couldn't finish his tenure. He lost out of destiny. He lost charge of destiny. What happened? We're going to quickly look at a couple of things that were responsible. What was responsible for the loss of Samuel, of Saul? Number one is personality without spirituality. Saul possessed personality without spirituality. He was the man with the content without the container. With the container that had the container without the content. In 1 Samuel chapter 9 and in verse 2, the Bible looked at the description and he had a son whose name was Saul. Okay, let's start from verse 1. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zero, the son of Bekorath, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man, and a goodly, that is all physical attributes. And he was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person. He had personality, he had charisma. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. These were the credentials of Saul. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 20 to verse 24, you see more of the credentials of Saul. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. And then let's go to verse 23. And they ran and fetched him thence. And when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upward. That was a man. The highest description of Saul was his physical personality. There was minimal, if any, description of his spirituality. Listen, it is not wrong to have personality, but it is an error to lack spirituality. It is not wrong to have personality. It is not wrong to be fine looking. It is not wrong to know how to dress well. It is not wrong to know how to look after your hair and to look after your car and your house. But it is an error to lack spirituality. Your spiritual root is what determines your destiny fruit. It's what determines your destiny fruit. No matter what you do, do all you can to deepen your spiritual root. Can you compare the description of Saul with the description of David? David was the man after God's heart. David was the man who will weep before God, the sweet psalmist of Israel. The man who wrote literally 90-something percent of the Psalms. David. Beloved brothers and sisters, whatever you do, pay attention to your spirituality. Pay attention to your spiritual roots. The vibrancy of your spirituality determines the buoyancy of your destiny. The vibrancy of your spirituality determines the buoyancy of your destiny. Personality without spirituality. Construction without foundation. It is good to have an outer life, but it is more critical to have an inner life. Inner life I'm referring to, Bible says, be strengthened with the spirit in the inner man. It is good to have an outer life that is attractive, but it is critical to have an inner life. Because listen, when your outer life exceeds your inner life, a collapse of destiny is inevitable. A collapse. When your outer life, when your activity exceeds your spirituality, calamity is inevitable. That was what happened to Samson. Samson had an outer life without a commensurate inner life. Samson had a lot of activity without any spirituality. Samson prayed only twice in his life. First of all, he prayed when he was hungry for food. Next time he prayed was when they had taken out his eyes. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? When your activity exceeds your spirituality, catastrophe is inevitable. Number one was personality without spirituality. If anybody is in charge today, if anybody is in authority today, if God has placed you somewhere, I'm not saying you should tone down on your personality, but I'm saying you should tune up on your spirituality. Number two is the lack of passion. passion for God's presence. The lack of passion for God's presence. Saul was such a man that was comfortable to exist without God's presence. If you look at David, you will see David's passion for God's presence. Psalm 63, verse 1 to verse 2. He said, "Oh Lord my God," that's David speaking. "Oh God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary." That is David's hunger for God's presence. Psalm 42, and in verse 1, all the way to verse 2. He said, "As the hart pants after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" He said, "Deep, call it unto the deep." I believe that was verse 7. "At the sound of thy water spouts." There is something that my heart is calling for. There is a place my heart cries out for, Lord. There is a place I am yearning for. It is a place where deep calls to the deep. I am overwhelmed by this deep longing, Lord. There is a place my heart cries out for, Lord. There is a place I am yearning for. It is a place where deep calls to the deep. Oh, it is a place of your dwelling, Lord. Take me, Lord, to your secret place, Lord. Hey! Take me by the hand to your holy place. Let me see your face and your glory, Lord. Let me know you more than I have known you, Lord. Take me, Lord, to your secret place, Lord. Take me by the hand to your holy place. Let me see your face and your glory, Lord. Let me know you more than I have known you." When you are there, 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 Lord, when you are there, when you are there, when you are there, and Lord, you are here, Lord, you are here, Lord, you are here. Lord, you are here, Mahashara. Lord, you are here. Lord, you are here. Lord, you are here.
Lord, you are here. Lord, you are here. Lord, you are here. Lord, you are here. Lord, you are here.
He said, my soul followeth hard after thee. Psalm 63, the 7 verse 8. Followeth hard. My soul followeth hard. That was the kind of person David was. Saul was the opposite. If you look at 1 Chronicles chapter 13, from verse 1 all the way to verse 2, he said, and David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said unto the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you let us send abroad of our brethren where they are left in all the land of Israel and with them also to the priests and Levites which are in their cities and suburbs that they may gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again the ark of our God to us. For we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. The ark of the covenant of God of Israel. The ark of the presence of God was not available in the days of Saul. For the 20 years of his reign, God's presence was not needed. For we inquired not at it at all in the days of Saul. Any other thing can be available, but not God. The ark of the covenant of the Lord was a symbolism of the presence of God. The ark of the covenant of the Lord was a container of the rod of Moses that burdened the pot of manna. The tablets of the commandments. In the Holy of Holies, the cherubims overlaying the ark faced each other, and the Shekinah glory of God was in between. That was what Saul could survive without for 20 years. Question is, how far are you willing to go without God? That's right. How far in between those cherubims you see there, there is a blue glow, a blue halo, a glow that was a symbolism of the presence of God. Saul could survive without God. The worst thing that can happen to anybody is to be comfortable in the absence of God. God is not around and you are okay. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? God is not there and you are okay. The worst thing that can happen to a pastor is to be pastoring a divine presence-less church. Instrument, excellent. Choir, great. Music, perfect. Protocol, excellent. Order, great. Of the doctors, both hearing and asking questions. That is how many of us have decided to live our lives. Everything is going on. This ministry is busy. Business is going on. Moving, traveling from place to place. And God is absent. That is what it takes to lose charge of destiny. That is God positioned you and then you lost it. When you lack value for his presence. No wonder Moses said in Exodus chapter 33 and in verse 14, he said, God said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. In verse 15, Moses said, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. If you are not with me, where am I going? If you are not with us, what is the future? What can I face in front? We confronted the Red Sea because you were there. Your presence divided the Red Sea. We finished our enemies because we were there. How can we have a future without his presence? That was the mystery of Saul losing charge of destiny. No passion, no need for God's presence. Beloved, every time you begin to feel dry as a businessman, as a person, whoever you are, as a pastor, you are feeling dry. You can't feel God. Just lock up yourself and say, Lord, I don't want to continue this journey without you. I don't want to go forward without you. I don't want to move an inch without you. The lack of passion for God's presence. Number three. Is stepping out of his calling and office. Stepping out of his calling. Stepping out of his calling. His own, that is Saul's own calling and office. Stepping out of one's calling and one's office will cause you to lose charge of your destiny. Saul was in the front of a battle. Samuel asked him to wait for him, that he will come within 7 days. He claimed that he waited for Samuel for 7 days, and Samuel did not come. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 11. And in verse 12. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And he said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed. Alright, back up a little bit. Let's start from verse 8. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings. And he offered a burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. That word was very instructive. In the Old Testament, there were three offices: the office of the king, the office of the priest, the office of the prophet. The office of the priest was reserved for the Levites, except those that by grace stepped there like David. Saul left his office of king and stepped into the office of a priest and prophet. Some prophets like Samuel also worked in that office of the priest. He left his office and stepped into another office. And Samuel said, is that right? God had originally promised that your kingdom will continue, but it will not. It will not. But this is very, very critical. He said, I forced myself. When you want to enter a calling that is not yours, you normally force yourself. It does not flow. It happens by force. It's a struggle. When it is not your calling, it is always a struggle to fulfill it. And when you struggle to fulfill a calling that is not yours, you lose your color. When you struggle to fulfill a calling that is not yours, you lose your color. When you struggle to manifest a mantle you don't have, you end with battles. Are there not so many people struggling today for the prophetic? Everybody wants to be a title carrier. I must prophesy. Some have gone to the devil to look for prophetic power. Some have gone into all manner of craftiness to claim that a miracle was happening. First, I forced myself. When you step out of your calling, you step out of your color. When you step out of your calling, you step out of your covering. When you step out of your mantle, you step into battles. God will never confirm what He has not called you to do. He will never confirm what He has not called you to do. If it is not your endowment, it has no engracement. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Every calling in God is a high calling. There is no less. If you are called to be a teacher strictly, stick with the teaching. And in the explosiveness of the teaching, you will see things that the evangelist also sees. Kenneth Hagin was teacher prophet. William Branham was prophet. He prayed for a woman, and the woman will be healed and return back. That's Branham. The woman will return back again in another crusade with the same sickness. You should be healed and return back again. After a while, he told the woman, he said, "No, you know what? I want to send you to the ministry of Kenneth Hagin." He said, "That is where you need to go. It is that ministry that will help you. And he needs to teach you faith so that you can receive the faith to be healed, so that your healing can be permanent." That was what he did. "I send you to Kenneth Hagin. That ministry will not only get you healed, but that ministry will keep you, will teach you the faith that will keep you to maintain." Those were men that understood their various colors. And when he himself struggled to enter the teaching, that is the first one I mentioned. When he now struggled to become a teacher, it became a challenge. It became a challenge. Major challenge. Hallelujah. Listen to me, people. Face your call. Face it. Face it squarely. Billy Graham never saw one healing. He never saw one healing. He never prayed for one sick person. One day they were singing a song in his crusade, and a blind eye opened. And they were rushing out to testify. He said, "Oh, no, it's okay." See, that is very, very strange. This doesn't normally happen here. He arranged it away, downplayed it, and just settled them and continued. In his day, the crusade crowds were the largest crowds without any headache healed, without any testimony taken. They came to hear the raw word with a pure evangelistic mantle. He did 68 days in Wembley Stadium every night. Look at that. In London. In fact, until Wembley Stadium became an overflow, 1968, 57 years ago. This was not a healing crusade. This was not a deliverance crusade. This was not a prophetic gathering. No name mentioned. Why are we struggling? And I believe that this kind of thing will happen again. It's already happening. But it will happen more. Where people go pure in the line of their calling. Without branching. So you don't lose charge of your destiny. Himself, they gave him land. Everything was set for a Billy Graham University. His partners only came and said, "Just sign here. Land is ready. Money is ready. And heavy, heavy people, notable people were saved under his ministry. Pat Robertson was saved in his crusade. Jesse Duplantis. Several of the people, they were saved in this man's crusade. So we have the land, we have the property, we have everything. Just signed for a Billy Graham University. He was the one who dedicated Oral Roberts University. He commissioned Oral Roberts University. This is Billy Graham University. Like Oral Roberts. You say, oh no, God didn't ask me to start a university. It wasn't part of what God told me or showed me. Keep the money, keep everything. The glory only follows God's pattern. You know, he told Moses, follow the pattern that was shown to you on the mountain. And as Moses followed the pattern, the glory fell. Moses followed the pattern and the glory fell. Many people are looking for the glory outside his pattern. They are looking for the glory outside his plan. You will not lose it. Even in your business line, face it. Identify what is your business line. Face it. Identify what is your career line. Face it. Identify what God has in mind for you. Face it. Pray we'll finish this thing tonight. Losing out of destiny. Number three was the stepping out of his calling. Stepping out of one's calling and office. Number four is impatience with God. Impatience with God. Impatience with divine instruction. Many people run out of patience and run into problems with God. He said, you said you were coming. You said I should wait for 7 days that you are coming. 1 Samuel still, chapter 13, verse 8 to 10. You said you were coming. He tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal. And the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring me hither a burnt offering to me. And peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. And he came to pass that as soon as he made an end of the offering, Samuel arrived. That seventh day had not expired. I am coming on the seventh day. Maybe by 3 p.m. of the seventh day. Samuel had not come. He offered the sacrifice and Samuel arrived by 5 p.m. of the seventh day. Why don't we wait for our obedience to be complete? You see, when God told Naaman the Syrian to dip himself in the river of Jordan 7 times, at the 6th time, the leprosy was still there. The 6th time. That is, for some of us, you say, at least it should be cleaning gradually. I've done number one. He has not cleaned a bit. Number two, number three, number four, number five, number six. It was as leprous as it was at the first time. That is where some of us would have stepped out of the water and said, what kind of nonsense instruction is this? One day, a man came with a challenge. I wrote out some passages for him. Ephesians this, Philippians this, please sit. On the way going, and I said, read it, study it, then you come back, I pray for you. He threw the paper away on the road. He said, I came for prayer, you are saying I should go and read Bible. Is it only Ephesians? Why didn't you tell me to read the whole Bible? He threw the paper away on the road. He was the one who confessed. That is how many of us. Please, note that every time you become impatient with God, you settle for alternatives. And when you settle for alternatives, alternative to God, you establish situations that may remain perennial life challenges. And I'm talking to you from Scripture. When you become impatient with God, you settle for alternatives. And when you settle for alternatives, you inherit challenges that may be durable for your lifetime. If you doubt me, ask Abraham. When he couldn't wait on God anymore, he organized an alternative. That alternative is on earth till today. When Saul could not wait on God and he forced himself and offered that sacrifice, it cost him the kingdom. It was an irreparable loss. It doesn't matter. The lateness of God is better than the fastness of man. The lateness of God, if God is late, it is more profitable and rewarding than the fastness of God. Sorry, of man. If God is not coming on time, that delay is superior to your speed. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Lack. What number are we? We are in number 4. And it is already 8. So I will end in number 5 tonight. Number 5. It's walking. Alright, let me see how fast I can go. It is walking by sight instead of walking by faith. I saw the people scattering from me and I forced myself. 1 Samuel 13, 11 and 12. It is walking by sight instead of walking by faith. God is a spirit. So you don't relate with God on the basis of sight. What we see are not reliable many times. Amen. What we see are not reliable many times. You see a pool on the road in the on a sunny day, and you went and you realize it's a mirage. You saw somebody that looked like somebody, you rush until you realize it's not the person. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? What we see many times is not reliable. Walking by sight instead of by faith is a challenge. Number 6. Alright, just lift your voice this moment and just appreciate the King of Kings this moment. Mercosotofrita Satakalaya. Just right where you are,
understand, oh Lord, in your resting place. Lead me away from things that kept me from you. Separate me from the things, Lord, that hinder me. I want to be, oh Lord, just right where you are. I want to stay, oh Lord, in your resting place. Lead me away. Lead me away from things that keep me from you.
Separate me.
Separate me from the things that are hinder me. I want to live.
I want to live.
Oh Lord, just right where you are. I want to stay,
I want to stay.
Oh, stay away. Please let me away.
From things
that keep me from you. Separate me, separate me.
Let's take it from the first verse. I want to live, Lord, in the world of your glory.
I want to live, Lord, in the world of your glory.
I want to live,
I want to live, Lord,
in the place where you are. To stay away,
to stay away from the pressure.
And care of his life. Master Kokoda Galana.
Stay away
from the way
of the world.
I want to leave.
I want to live.
Lord,
in
the
world
of your glory. I want to leave.
I want to leave, Lord,
in the place where you are. To stay away,
to stay away from the pressure I can't
avoid. To stay away,
to stay away from the world.
I want to live,
I want to live. I want to be.
I want to live.
I want to live. Oh Lord, just right where you are.
I want to stay.
I want to stay.
I want to stay.
Oh Lord.
Oh Lord, my heart is longing for
your precious
presence
to receive.
to receive love and life from your own covenant.
So I can escape the darkness.
So I can escape the darkness that covers me. So I can escape the
your precious presence to receive love,
to receive
the light of your covenant. So I can escape,
so I can escape,
so I can escape the path of error.
agony.
Shake your hands everywhere.
I want to live.
Oh Lord, just right where you are.
I want to stay. Oh Lord, in your resting place. Lead me away from things that keep me from you. Separate me from the things Lord, that need of me.
Lord, Saul was comfortable without you for 20 years. He was okay. Everything was okay, even if God wasn't there. Lord, I don't want to be a Saul. Lord, I don't want to lose out in destiny. I don't want to step into an assignment that is not mine. I don't want to lose out. We're going to pray for the next 8 minutes. And you're going to pray in the spirit. I don't want to have personality without spirituality. I don't want to be a container without content. Lord, help me. I don't want personality without spirituality. I don't want to succeed outside your presence. I don't want to step out of my office into something else. I don't want to be impatient with you. I don't want to walk by side. Lift your hands and say, Father,
draw me
unto yourself,
into your presence.
Draw me
unto the place
of spirituality.
Help me, Lord,
never to lose
out of destiny
by stepping out
of your assignment
for my life.
I receive
your help
to be planted
in your presence.
I receive
your help
to be fathered
in spirit.
I receive
your help
to remain
in your presence.
Pray.
Psalm 63,
verse 1 and 2.
Pray, your heart. I see God pulling people. You say you are too busy, you are too active. Your activity is bigger than your spirituality. He said, take time and develop deep spiritual roots. So that your stem is not bigger than your root. The Iroko tree cannot stand on a mango root. So that it doesn't collapse. He said, you've been too comfortable without his presence. There is so much you are doing and he's not present. Many, many things have been used to replace his presence. Entertainment. Activity. He said, there are things you are doing he didn't ask you to do. And there are things he asked you to do you are not doing. He's going to bring clarity in this season. Get your hand. May my heart become your throne, dear Lord. May you find your rest in me. May nothing content for me with you. May you be the Lord of all.
May my heart
become your throne. Hey, dear Lord, may you find your rest. May nothing content. May nothing content for me. Sing, may my heart become your throne. May my heart become your throne. Dear Lord, may you find your rest in me. May not be content. May not be content for me. Lift your hands, everyone. Lift your hands. Close your eyes. It's a climate of visitation. It's a climate of encounter. It's a climate of revelation. It's a climate of acceleration. It's a climate of liberation. It's a climate of transformation. Hey, it's a climate of elevation. And beyond that, it's a climate of impartation. Lift your hands up. Will you be able to maintain quietness? Hands lifted. Quietness. Trying to assist someone to deepen your spiritual root. Lift your hands up. Try to assist someone to restore you back and plant you in His presence. Try to assist someone to find His will. Eyes of revelation, eyes of insight, eyes of direction. Hallelujah.
I'll count up to seven. When I say one, you bring it down gradually. Two, three. By the time it reaches seven, you place it on your head. And that's seven times for perfection. Before your own hand touches yourself, the hand of the Lord will touch you. Reordering your life. Drawing you to Himself. Establishing you in His presence. And gracing you for deeper spiritual roots. Lift your hands. Because there is a presence here. There is a presence here. There is a presence here. There is a presence of the Lord. There is a presence here. There is a presence here. There is a presence here. Is the presence of the Lord. There is a presence here. There is a presence here. Is the presence of the Lord. Put your hands up. I count up to seven. One. Before the seventh count, somebody will just be overwhelmed with fire, with power, with presence. Two. Three. Four. Five. Six. Seven. Five! There is a presence in the presence of. Wave your hands and give him the praise. Something happened. Something happened. We may not be able to take the testimonies tonight, but something happened. If anyone was ever in this service tonight, I stopped where I perceived that the Holy Spirit wanted me to stop for tonight. And not to overload, and also to do this necessary one. I'll continue the second part of this tomorrow morning, and I want you to be there. Very heavy matters are still on the way concerning the issue of losing charge of destiny using the life of Saul. Take excuse from your office. Many times people say, I watch online. And I wonder how someone will come all the way from Botswana, Zimbabwe, and somebody is in Abuja here watching online. That is an injury to one's destiny. Except, of course, you are within the gathering where we are also connecting and conducting life. Everybody is together. Otherwise, just on your phone on in the house. It's an injury to your destiny. The climate, you can't catch it. You can't just catch it like that. The little of it can come out of the television, but it's not the same as being there. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and give him the praise. Anywhere you are, just before we step out, you need to surrender yourself to Jesus. Please, nobody move your head. Step forward here and let us receive you. Bianu Keleya. Bianu Keleya. Bianu Keleya. Esora. Bianu Keleya. Bianu Keleya. Bianu Keleya. Esora. Bianu Keleya. Bianu Keleya. Bianu Keleya. Is alright. You can bring out your expectation if you have it. Bianu Kelea. Is alright. Bianu Kelea. Bianu Kelea. Bianu Kelea. Is alright. Bianu Kelea. Bianu Kelea. Don't write that on this song. Bianu Kelea. Bianu Kelea. Bianu Kelea. Ezora. Bianu Kelea. Bianu Kelea. Bianu Kelea. Undi mozi binigwe. Anasi ale. Anasi Alleluia. Jehovah on everyone. On everyone. On Jimozi Biniwe. Anasi Alleluia. Anasi Alleluia. Stand up with your expectation. Jehovah on everyone. On everyone. Anasi Alleluia. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak upon these expectations. Your word said, surely there is an end, and thy expectations shall not be cut short. In the name of Jesus, I ask for an end of all afflictions. I ask for an end of all frustrations. I ask for an end of all affliction. I ask for an end of all bondage and captivity. in the name of Jesus. I ask today, Lord, that you breathe upon these expectations. As somebody proceeds tonight, they sleep overnight, they wake up with their manifestations. Father, thank you for diverse visitation encounters tonight. Thank you, Lord, for a change of story. The glorified Lord. In Jesus' name, lift it high up.